As I have returned from a three-week mission, I thank you for your prayers, for spiritual success, and for my safety in travels. Of course, I am grateful also for the coordination of each mission effort as they assist my travels. Permit me to share some stories in order to allow the other parishioners to hear the sermon. I gave this sermon last Sunday at the 5 o'clock Mass, and so today I give the sermon here for the morning Masses. For several years now, we have been sending a priest 6 times a year to visit the Philippines. Father Molina, Father Mary Gerard, and myself have been making this effort so that we each pay a visit 2 times a year. Recently, a traditional family in Malaysia have also requested that we visit them in conjunction with our visits to the Philippines. This request has increased the number of annual visits. We have been able to make more frequent visits as Father Krisov from Moscow, Russia, also pays visits. Since the chapel in the Philippines has the majority of the faithful, we have Sunday Masses in the Philippines while going to Malaysia during 1 week. As we pray for the poor souls, especially during November, let me share an explanation of the dedication in the Philippines in respect to visiting the cemetery on All Souls Day. This day, along with the day before and after, is so widely observed that workers have the days off. The people go to visit the cemetery of their family's graves. Thus, a large number converge upon the cemetery. I was also in the Philippines at this time last year, but I was able to visit the cemetery on the second day after All Souls Day. So, with my visit this year, I told the chapel director that I wanted to go and visit the cemetery on All Souls Day. The cemetery in Manila is very large, but I want you to try to imagine that so many people come to the cemetery that cars park on each side of the road throughout the whole cemetery. We could not find any parking space. In fact, people were parking outside the cemetery and walking a distance to come to visit their family grave plot. With such congestion of cars throughout the cemetery, we could not park. The chapel director dropped me along with his mother off so that we could visit her husband's grave. The chapel director then drove around the cemetery to come back to pick us up. It was enough time for us to pray a couple of decades of the rosary. I also had enough time to take several pictures, for only a picture can truly give you the idea of how devoted the Philippine people are to visiting the cemetery to pray for the departed. Each family sets up a tent so that their family grave plot is kept out of the sun. But just in case anyone would suffer heat stroke or dehydration, there were 5 ambulances on hand. Police directed the traffic, keeping the traffic moving where all of the parking spaces were occupied. In order to provide for so many people, there were food vending booths, for you cannot have so many people converging without having the wherewithal to provide for their needs. The atmosphere throughout was suited for quiet prayer. At one graveside, the family was gathered around as a priest prayed. For families may give a stipend to arrange for a priest to pray at the family graveside for the departed. As I visited the family in Malaysia, they paid a daily visit to the cemetery each day of the octave, and they had to drive a fair distance to go to the cemetery. This family has a daughter in the convent in Omaha, the Sisters of the Congregation of the Mother of God. They also have four children boarding at Mater Dei Academy in Omaha. And so I offered Mass for 4 days for the parents and 5 children who are still at home. We happened to drive by a mosque. This had been built with taxpayer money, since Islam is the religion of the country. This family is willing to host the Latin Mass in their home, even with the hope that others will return to the Tridentine Mass. But if they were to put an advertisement in the newspaper, they would be legally required to put a waiver along with the advertisement. If they advertise the Latin Mass, they have to print along with the ad, "Not for Muslims." The reason why they would be required to print this waiver with the ad is because it is illegal to give the appearance of trying to convert a Muslim. What an irony this is when we consider the heresy of religious liberty as taught by the false Vatican Council II. For Vatican Council II claims that all religions are inspired by God to suit the diversity of the times and culture of peoples. Therefore, the Vatican II Church requires that all religions must be permitted freedom to publicly be promoted. Prior to Vatican Council II, there were some countries that were exclusively Catholic countries. In these countries, only the Catholic Church was given favor by the state. Only the Catholic Church was permitted to be publicly promoted. Due to the Vatican Council II teaching of false liberty, these formerly Catholic countries were no longer required to favor only the Catholic Church. They were required to allow the open proselytization of any and every religion. The irony of this is that the same favor is not returned by the Muslim religion. In Malaysia, the Muslim religion is the religion of the state. The mosque is erected by taxpayer money, taxes also from Catholics. But any other religion other than Islam is supported by funds from the members of that particular denomination. Clearly, Vatican Council II is a diabolical deceit intended to convince Catholics that the Catholic Church is not the only one true church. Before Vatican II, there were some few countries that were exclusively Catholic. On account of Vatican II, these countries were required to allow the open spreading of false religions. But there are still countries today where the government favors a false religion. Clearly, the Vatican II false religious liberty is to the detriment of the true Catholic faith. But false religions benefit as they are given public recognition in countries that were once Catholic. And those countries, which had already been non-Catholic countries, continue to exclusively favor their own particular false religion. I was privileged to give extreme unction to one lady in the Philippines, whereas the drive would have been an hour and a half during non-rush hour time. It required just over 3 hours, since the Philippines, like America, are into the time of Christmas shopping. Another lady who I was privileged to anoint was in Taiwan. I flew to Taiwan for just a one-day stay in order to give this woman extreme unction in Mass. The woman is 86 years old and is on liquid nutrition feeding tube and an opening in her throat for breathing. Her daughter attended the Fatima conference and at that time requested that I pay a visit for extreme unction. So I flew from Manila, Philippines to Taipei in North Taiwan, then taking the bullet train to the south of Taiwan. The traditional daughter would fly into the airport shortly before my flight and meet me at baggage claim. She also hit upon the idea so that I would be able to pick her out from the crowd. She would wear a red scarf. Of course, no one else would be wearing a scarf given the time of year. One detail we overlooked is that immigration would not allow me into the country unless I had an address where I would be staying for the night. Having the city was not enough, nor to write down that I would be at a private residence. One helpful attendant tried to process me as a connecting passenger, since I was so soon flying out of the country. Still not enough. The customs official needed an address. I was not able to call the traditional daughter, as she later explained to me that she had lost her cell phone just before the trip. Fortunately, she met a friendly lady who permitted her to use her cell phone to call me. So at least I had a voicemail message. The lady would not be able to meet me at baggage claim, since she had flown into another section of the airport and could not be admitted to my baggage claim area. So finally, a gracious agent noted my description of the lady and went in search of the lady with the red scarf. She had paged me 5 times, but the page did not reach my area of the airport. She had tried 3 more times to borrow someone's cell phone to call me. All told, It had been an hour. Imagine her relief as an agent came and tapped her on the shoulder and asked, "Are you waiting for Father Brendan?" So in spite of the wait, everything worked out to be able to reach out to her dear mother to give extreme unction and have Mass. God bless that kind lady who allowed her to use her cell phone. And God bless that agent who went to obtain the necessary address so as to process me through customs. It was a lesson learned that in the future, I need to obtain in advance from a travel agent the information that would be required to put down on a visa entrance form. Finally, let me share the experience of flying through Japan on my way home so as to have Mass for 2 days for a young couple. The wife had never been raised in the faith, even though her grandparents had established a Catholic church. So it set her to wondering when she read their obituary, and only then found out that they had established a Catholic church. She wondered why she had never been raised in the faith. It set her on her journey to the faith. She felt, well, I need to read the Bible. And so she started reading the Bible. But then she thought, well, how am I to understand the Bible? How am I to understand any particular passage of the Bible? Aha! She then came upon a computer app where you could type in a passage of the Bible and get the particular meaning for that quote. But in order to understand a passage, you also had to type in your particular denomination. Do you want the Lutheran interpretation of that passage? Or the Baptist, Presbyterian, are you Catholic by chance? Or any other Christian denomination? Well, she realized the Bible can only have one interpretation, not any interpretation for every different particular denomination. And that interpretation has to be the Catholic interpretation, because the Catholic Church is the one only true church founded by Christ. The Lutheran Church was founded by Martin Luther in such and such a year, and right down through all of the other various Christian, non-Catholic denominations. And so she could see straightway that the Catholic Church also had changed with the Vatican Council too. Further searching led her eventually to the CMRI website. And so as of this past summer, she and her husband had been requesting a Mass visit. And so you can please remember this young couple in your prayers as they are professing the Catholic faith, the true Catholic faith, in a country that, mind you, has a population of Vatican II Catholics of merely 0.35%. So, whereas I have traveled on mission to the Philippines twice a year for the past few years, this mission from which I have just returned included also Malaysia, along with a one-time visit to Taiwan and a first visit to Japan. Among these four countries, there are differences in culture. I visited Guatemala for a week in the spring. As you are aware, I have paid several visits to Canada this year, and so my foreign countries for this year comes to six. Let me note a saying of G.K. Chesterton, as he told of the diversities of people and how every nationality are to be respected in their customs and culture. He tells that you cannot take the Arabian out of Arabia without destroying Arabia. Nor can you take the Chinaman out of China without destroying China. The point is that peoples have found the means to live and prosper among various climates and resources of the lands where they inhabit. But wherever one goes, our precious Catholic faith is the same: one, holy, Catholic, and apostolic. Now, the word Catholic means universal. In whatever way you are able to assist the missions, you are reaching out to your brothers and sisters in the one same precious Catholic faith. You might assist by attending the St. Francis Xavier Missionary Guild breakfast, or by contributions, but by all means, and mostly by your prayers. And so I thank you for your prayers, for the success of the mission, and that with your prayers and the help of my guardian angel, I have come back home once more safe. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.